This is me telling you this. The program is Media Network.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another program from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archive.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine for shortwave listeners. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Hello and thank you this week. Thank you for all the comments that have flooded in concerning the letter we read out a few weeks ago on the format of Media Network. People have put pen to paper and illustrated their arguments for and against the balance of pure shortwave tips in this programme, and we'll be discussing them on an upcoming transmission. But there's still time for your views if you want to make a point. We haven't demoted our DX contributors, as one letter supposed, though. In fact, Arthur Cushion, Richard Jinby, Dan Robinson and Victor Gunnar Tillicker form an essential part of the team, illustrating items that can be heard with off-air examples. There may be a new station example too shortly. We spoke to the president of Marcom, the company putting shortwave station KYOI into the air from Saipan. And Bob Berger told us that the power, tower and programmes are now ready. The transmitter is 85% all there. They plan to start testing with tones and station identifications on air this coming Sunday or Monday, depending on the arrival of a transmitting tube. The official launch date for regular programmes is now December the 12th at 10 hours Japan Standard Time. The coordinated schedule to look for these tests is this: on 9670 kHz from 15 to 22 hours UTC, then 15415 kHz between 22 and 01 hours, 15190 kHz between 01 and 7 hours, and finally, to make it 24 hours, 11900 kHz between 07 and 15 hours. So keep watching 9670, 11900, 15190 and 15415, as from this weekend. Meanwhile, a court in Warsaw has fined Belgian Roger Noel 29,000 guilders for smuggling radio apparatus into Poland for Radio Solidarity. Noel was arrested on the 5th of July, and his punishment changed from a 3-year prison sentence to a fine, providing he leaves the country. The equipment was confiscated. But there's another Radio Solidarity around, this time in London. Paul Ballster phoned the Media Network answer line, Hilversum 18700.
A radio station calling itself Radio Solidarity has been broadcasting in the London area on Wednesday evenings on 103 MHz FM, starting recently. Firstly broadcasting in Polish, followed by a transmission in English. This is how the station closed down at approximately 19:10 UTC on Wednesday, the 24th of November.
You've been listening to Radio Solidarity 103 coming to you from London. You can hear our next English language broadcast at Wednesday, 5:40 p.m. on 103 MHz FM on your dial.
The station then continued with some music, and after a short pause at approximately 19:25 UTC, regular transmissions began on the radio station Our Radio, which is a community access program broadcasting to the London area every Wednesday and Friday. Programs on that station were running approximately an hour and a half behind their normal schedule.
Thanks, Paul. Well, Our Radio is, of course, a pirate, though it's different from its music-orientated counterparts on medium and shortwave, plus VHF in the UK. So far this year, the British Home Office has made 45 raids on 30 pop pirate stations. But a much bigger problem is the 41,000 public complaints about illegal CB. Legislation which got its second reading before Parliament on Monday of this week could mean Britain making fines of up to £1,000 and apprehending those selling equipment too by some time next year. On the BBC Radio 4 programme Today, this past Monday, Timothy Raisins, the Home Office Minister for Broadcasting, explained the background.
The problem up till now has been that you've been able to catch people if you've actually found them using their set. You've not been able to catch mere possession or sale. And the powers that we are introducing in this bill will enable us to really get at the heart of the thing. The radio interference service is a very hard-pressed service, but it's something we have to do. I think it's very much something where we depend on public cooperation. We have powers of enforcement, we have the radio interference service, but at the same time, we have got to get over to the population as a whole that misuse of the radio spectrum is not just a question of breaking the law, although that in itself is obviously bad. It is a question of harming other people's lawful enjoyment of what is there.
Well, that's not a pirate, of course. It's RTTY, radio teletype, used to put written texts across international boundaries. It uses shortwave, and many of the sources of this noise are press agencies. Michael Schrey is a Dutch shortwave listener who's not only taken a serious interest in this particular field, but this week he's come out with a comprehensive guide to frequencies. On Tuesday, I visited his listening post and asked him why such a publication was necessary.
Until now, it was very difficult to tune into a specific agency. It was most of the time a matter of good luck. You could not say, I want to hear this or that agency, and I'm going to tune it. So that's why I've compiled this list.
You've done it all yourself?
90% from my own monitoring. I have been utility editor of the Benelux DX Club. On that basis, I've started it.
Right, you've put together an 88-page, I wouldn't call it a book, I'd call it more a loose-leaf folder.
Yes, that's right.
Why have you done it like that?
That was the most easiest way to produce it, and the user can save it the way he wants. So he can put it in an ordner, in a map, or he can save it in the side clip in which it's presented. In some instances, I have enclosed alternative schedules. Not in all cases, but I've tried to keep it as updated as possible. So if a specific agency is not operating on the frequency that is listed, you can look in the second part of the book and you find an alternative schedule.
Now, most of the schedules that I've seen related to this particular subject have been made in the United States. Is this the only one from Europe?
Yes, in this format it is. There have been lists on frequency order, but not on schedule order. The list has two sections. Section one is a time order list. With the help of this part, you can see at any time of day which agencies are on the air at that time. Choose the agency of your choice and tune in. And the second part of the book lists the agency's schedules per agency. So if you want to choose an agency from a specific country, you look under the heading of that agency and you can tune in.
One thing I like about the list is it's not just a list, it's a little bit of background information as well. I noticed this stuff about Reuters, UPI, and even TASS. I noticed you've got the details of how they presented Leonid Brezhnev's recent death.
Yes, indeed. I've tried to include some background feature articles. I mean, every agency has a certain bias. Some agencies are run purely for profit and others are state-owned. And that makes a difference for the presentation of the news.
Isn't the hobby becoming more popular now with the cheaper type of RTTY decoders that fit on a television screen? I know we've recently dealt with those.
Yes, indeed. I think in Holland they are selling by the dozen these days. They are fairly cheap, let's say one month's minimum wage in Holland, and you buy such a decoding unit.
What's the fascination then?
The fascination is to watch the news bulletins. You are really in the front row of the international scene. These news agencies broadcast 24 hours a day, some of them, and 90% of these items never come in the newspapers.
But depending on which part of the world you live in, you do have to be rather careful on what you do with that information.
Yes, it is in all countries of the world, it is forbidden to pass the information on to third parties. In most countries, it is even forbidden to receive radio teletype broadcasts. In fact, in Holland, it is too, but Dutch authorities will overlook the matter, I think.
You've used a card index system as opposed to a computer.
Yes, indeed, and it took me about 200 hours to compile it to the way it is now.
Right, 88 pages. How many press agencies?
56 in total. There are, of course, many more agencies, but these are the agencies that transmit shortwave bulletins. Third part of the list covers the abbreviations of the names of the news agencies. That has a total of 184.
For example, that AFP stands for something.
Yes, that's the Agence France-Presse, of course. And DPA, CUNA, you mention it.
Well, he mentions that some of the data in here will go out of date pretty quickly. I mean, once you've bought the list, is there any way you can update it all the time?
Yes, the first supplement will be inserted in the list at the end of December. Those who bought the list before that date will receive free of charge that supplement. And whether or not there will be future supplement depends on how many issues I will sell.
Well, finally, I suppose the most important question that some people have in their mind is how much does it cost?
Well, the price in Europe is 35 Dutch guilders or $14, and that includes postage costs. And it's quite expensive. The list weighs over 300 grams, so you can imagine it costs quite a bit to send it by airmail. And outside Europe, the price is 15 and $17 respectively, depending on where you live.
And if you'd like more details of the publication, entitled Radio Teletype Press Broadcasts, which is being published on a non-profit-making basis, incidentally, then drop us a line to Media Network. The address is English Section, Radio Netherlands, P.O. Box 222, Hilversum, in Holland. And we have a sheet on it. Next today, we move back to the mid-60s and cross to Richard Jinbe's Media View on Angola, Part 2.
Of the 24 stations in Angola, only one had direct links with Lisbon, A Voz de Luanda, a small medium-wave station which opened in 1966. After a short association with Radio Comercial de Angola, it joined forces with Radio Clube Português, the largest commercial outfit in Portugal, in 1972. On the 11th of November 1975, Portugal granted independence to Angola. The civil unrest that followed divided the country openly into three camps: FNLA in the north, UNITA in the south, and MPLA in the center. Eventually, the Moscow-backed MPLA took over the reins of government, entrenched by a force of more than 15,000 Cuban troops. By 1977, private broadcasting had ceased to function, with all stations falling directly under the banner of Radio Nacional de Angola, successor to Emissora Oficial.
De Luanda, capital da República Popular de Angola, transmite a Rádio Nacional em cadeia com toda a rede nacional de emissores.
Rádio Nacional has three networks: a stereo FM program for Luanda, a national service entirely in Portuguese, and a semi-external service which includes programs in eight local languages, together with a number of transmissions hosted by different movements, such as SWAPO, ANC, PLO, and the Polisario Front, as well as Radio Nacional's own weekly programs in French and English.
Coming from Luanda, the capital of the People's Republic of Angola, is Radio Nacional de Angola broadcasting. This is our English program of news and views.
There is also a daily one-hour program in Spanish for Cuban forces and advisors.
Buenas noches, estimados radio oyentes. Ya se encuentra en el aire el programa en idioma español de la Radio Nacional de Angola. Este programa se transmite de lunes a domingo a las 21 horas y 30 minutos en la programación B.
The privately owned stations have been replaced by an expanded regional network. Apart from news and broadcasts of national interest, programs are entirely local in origin. All but a few employ the same interval signal as Luanda.
La República Popular de Angola, directamente de suas antenas provinciais e de seus estúdios. Editor Regional da Rádio Nacional Mundial, República Popular da Angola.
Regional stations are temperamental operators, given to lengthy silences, frequency shifts, and alternating between shortwave and medium wave, while others abandon one or the other medium. On the whole, shortwave transmitters outside Luanda have been substantially depleted over the years. Those that are still on the air are, like their cousins in Mozambique, seriously defective.
Thanks, Richard. And it's interesting that Angolan station should use the tune Way Down in Dixie for identification. But then nothing's predictable these days. Remember that tune from the BBC's World Radio Club? It's no more. And neither is the annual competition, in which you can get fully detailed verification cards from them. We normally regard amateur radio on Media Network as a different line of pursuit than shortwave broadcast band listening. But thanks to this anniversary year for this major international broadcasting organisation, BBC staff are also appearing in the amateur bands, and there's a reward if you hear them. Maurice Tainton is one of the people behind the project, and he's on the line now from London.
Well, we're going to... The BBC Club is going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the BBC's Empire and External Services. They've just started, and they're going on to the 28th of December, with maximum activity around the 19th and the 20th, which is the actual anniversary date of the first Empire transmissions from Daventry by the British Broadcasting Corporation.
What sort of stations are you putting on the air? They've got special call signs.
Yes, and more may be coming. We don't know the actual total. There'll be GB2 BBC and GB8 BBC from the Langham Hotel, which is opposite Broadcasting House at the top of Regent Street.
That's used by the BBC Domestic Service.
Yes, and it is where the original Empire broadcasts first came. In fact, all the external transmissions came from there until about 1940. Then there'll be GB3 BBC from Bush House, where they all come from now, where all the external services come from now. There'll also be GB4 BBC from Caversham. That's where our listening service and the relaying station is. They'll be very active. There'll also be G5XX, X-ray, which was the original call sign. Those old timers of you will remember that's the original call sign of the Daventry long wave transmitter, where the shortwave transmissions came from in the first place in 1932, and they still come from there. And there'll also be GB2WV, that's a station in Wales, at Wenvo, near Cardiff. The last station is G3BBC, which is a normal call sign. That's from our television film studios at Ealing. They'll be rather erratic in operation, but they'll all be on around the 19th and the 20th of December.
If you're a shortwave listener with the capability of single sideband operation on your shortwave receiver, what bands are you going to look for there? Any particular amateur bands?
Yes, all bands from 160 metres to 10 metres. On top band, the frequency will be about 1920, and that will be from Daventry, from 5XX. But we hope to have a station on a band of practically all times over the 19th and 20th. We're trying to get this planned out now. 3675 will be the 80-metre frequency for G5XX.
What about the other stations? What frequency are they going to try and choose?
Yes, well, GB2 BBC and GB4 BBC hope to be on 3740 at the times they're on. And also on the other one, 3675. So we'll have one at the the top end and at the bottom end of the 80 meter band. I can't give you any actual frequencies for the other bands, but we hope to have some activity on all of them.
24 hours a day?
Well, it depends on the amount of work that people have got to do. They're having to do it in their spare time. But in some cases, yes, we hope to be on over 24 hours of the day.
And using all modes, in other words, Morse code, AM?
We hope to be operating that using mainly about 29 megacycles, but there may be some on 80 meters as well, using also a piece of the equipment of one of the original Sender 1, the original transmitters that carried the Empire service.
Which bits?
The modulation monitor. It's not very accurate, but it's because the carrier tends to wander a little bit and go up and down, and it's very critical, but it still works.
One thing I'm curious about, where are you going to put the transmitter in Bush House? Won't you interfere with ordinary day-to-day affairs in the studio?
Well, that is a problem. The transmitter in Bush House doesn't normally interfere, except on some bands, like Top Band. It is in a little room on the attic. It's on the 8th floor of the centre block of Bush House. It's the same as the Langham, but the chief trouble we have is at G3 BBC with the transmitter in the television film studio complex. That's why the times of operation of that one will be mainly limited to the lunch hours.
Finally, is there going to be a special QSL card for all this work?
Yes, a QSL card for all contacts and also all shortwave listeners that write in. And we're hoping, and we don't know what sort of problem this is going to be, that any listener or contact that works or hears four of these special stations will get a special certificate or a special QSL card. We haven't decided which.
A bit of a mystery then, if you're active on the band. Now, what about an address? Because is it via the Radio Society of Great Britain or what?
Yes, you can send cards through the Radio Society of Great Britain or direct, if you wish, to the BBC Club, 14A Cavendish Place, London, W1A1AA.
And that address again, BBC Club, 14A Cavendish Place, London, W1A1AA, in England, of course. I'd write the words Special Anniversary Amateur Stations somewhere on the envelope, if I were you, and enclose return postage. Remember, you don't have to own a transmitter to listen for them, and the call signs once again were GB2 BBC, GB3 BBC, GB4 BBC, GB8 BBC, which is VHF only, GB2 WV, G3 BBC, and finally from Daventry, G5 XX. Activity will be mostly on single sideband, but you may also find Morse and AM traffic as well. Now, here's Arthur Cushion with the Pacific Media News.
The news reminder, all times are UTC, frequencies and kilohertz. Australia, 6SES Prince West Australia, announcing as Radio 747, Australia's latest commercial radio station, is operating 24 hours a day from this week. New Caledonia, Noumea has dropped its English transmission, heard on a Saturday, and has extended its program time to sign off at 1300 UTC. The frequencies used are 666 medium wave, 3355 and 7170 kHz on shortwave. New Zealand. Summer in New Zealand means short-term broadcasting licences for holiday resorts. 693 Radio Bay of Islands at Russell, operating 24 hours a day, will be broadcasting from December 22 through to January the 15th. And on 1269, Golden Bay Radio, also 24 hours a day, will operate from December the 13th through to January the 22nd. Both stations operated by Radio New Zealand. Papua New Guinea, Inga, broadcasting medium wave 1494 and shortwave 2410 kHz, closes at 1300 UTC. Here's a typical sign-off announcement from Radio Inga.
This is the National Broadcasting Commission, Radio Inga, Kraiblong Milk, a voice of the milk, on the frequency of 1494 kHz or 1.494. I read that again. 1.494 megahertz on the medium wave band.
That was Radio Inga, 1494 kHz, and the announcer had some problems with his station sign-off on that occasion. Tahiti. A verification letter from Radio Tahiti at Papeete indicates that their English news at 1900 has now been discontinued. They operate now to the schedule of 1600 to 0730 UTC and on Sunday an extension to 0900. Frequencies in use are 738 with 20 kilowatt, 6135 4 kilowatt, 11825 and 15170 both 20 kilowatt. There are private FM radio stations now operating in Tahiti, and two are already in operation on 95 and 100 megahertz. These stations are similar to those operated in France. They're private, unlicensed stations, and two further stations for Tahiti are planned, reports Brian Clark from Auckland. Guatemala, the Adventist World Radio Station, TGMUB, 6090 kHz, verified reception after 2.5 years. The latest schedule is 2330 in Spanish to up to 0130 and then in English to sign off at 0330. Mexico, XERMX, 11770, a good clear frequency now since November 7, station heard with English at 0345. And looking at news from Africa, Nigeria, Lagos, 17800 kHz, heard with an English program summary at 0455, news in English at 0500. South Africa, Radio South Africa, a frequency change to 17775 kHz from 17780. The change noted at 0625 when they broadcast in English, but some interference here from Radio Dubai. Summer, of course, means good European reception during the hours of darkness. And some of these signals include Austria, 17740 kHz, 0700 to 0900, and English at 0830. Another new channel is 21490, 1000 to 1200 UTC, but some interference from the Voice of America. Greece, Athens on the outer band channel of 7095, heard at 0500 in Greek, up to 0600, and then transmissions continue to 0615 in Turkish. There have been a move by many stations down around 9400 kHz. We notice, for instance, on 9420, Athens broadcasting at 2000 on that channel. On 9420, Israel is using this frequency at 0500 with a broadcast in English. 9430, Tirana in Portuguese at 2000. And 9440 Israel here with news English at 2000, and that frequency actually replaces the one of 9420 which suffered interference from Athens. Italy, the Italian radio station Radio Time 6270 using a low power transmitter has been heard here in New Zealand around 0630. The station announces in Spanish and Italian, and Stephen Greenier of Invercargill is the first to report reception of this Italian station. Poland, Warsaw is using 3955 kHz. English broadcast is 1830 to 1855. The transmission suffers severe interference from the BBC. Spain, Madrid is using two frequencies at 2000 in the 19 metre band. They are 15190 and 15375. The transmission at 2100 on 15375 provides good reception, and on Monday at 2145, the broadcast from Spain includes English-Spanish lessons. At the same time, Cairo is using 15375 and they are broadcasting English-Arabic lessons. So quite a mixture if you're trying to learn Spanish or Arabic at 2145 on 15375 from either Madrid or Cairo.
Thanks, Arthur. And finally today, news for radio recording collectors. The US Library of Congress has just published a 149-page catalogue of the 5,100 recordings of live broadcasts in its archives. Among the treasures are the NBC bulletin about Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, a reporter's on-the-spot account of the Hindenburg disaster, plus a wealth of old comedy shows. We understand the catalogue is priced at $10, though it may be more for listeners outside the USA. Once you see a recording you like, though, you may have to get the permission of the owner of the broadcast rights before you can copy the tape in the Library of Congress. Having said that, the address for information is the Superintendent of Documents, U.S. Government Printing Office, Washington, D.C., zip code 20402. Once again, that's Superintendent of Documents, U.S. Government Printing Office, Washington, D.C., 20402. Well, time's beaten us again. We'll definitely squeeze in our conversation with Radio Venza Ramos next week. Till then, on behalf of today's contributors, this is Jonathan Mark saying back soon. Bye for now.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.